Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all. Welcome. Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. Thank you for calling in. If you on the phone or on the internet listening right now, God bless you. And I mean it. God bless you in any way that he sees fit. In any way that he sees fit. A lot of times, you know, we be wanting to tell God how to bless us. Mm-hmm. But he knows more about you than you would ever know about yourself, because he's all-knowing. And I'm grateful to serve a God that knows all things, all things. I don't care how much education we have. I don't care how many experiences we have, how much wisdom we have. We'll never trump God, because he's all-knowing. And, Lord, we just thank you for being all-knowing. We just thank you for loving us first. Loving us first. And we just thank you for saving us. We thank you for redeeming us, Father God. We just thank you for being with us each and every day, Lord. And we give you our honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Welcome again to PGN. I'm one half of your host, Terrence.
And I am your other half of your host, Tanisha. And today is... What'd you say? Today is June 15th, 2022. 7:13 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're excited to be here. We're glad to be here. And I like what Terrence just said about how we be expecting God to bless us in like certain ways, but a blessing is a blessing. Right. And I'm going to share something with you guys earlier. Terrence already knows. So our son, one of our sons, had to go to summer school this summer, because out here in Texas, they have these tests when the kids are in junior high and high school, called the STAR test. And so if your kid doesn't pass the STAR test, they have to make up the hours, like 30 hours or something like that, to be considered okay. And so our son, while he did good in math during the school year and he passed math with a B, he failed the STAR test. So they said he had to go to summer school. So at first I was like, okay, cool. Let's, you know, go ahead and knock it out. They provide the transportation and stuff because the school's not close to us. And then I found out that the normal bus stop that he would go to was not the bus stop that was going to be used for summer school, but I was going to actually have to drive him to a local elementary school that's not in our community. It's in a neighboring community, which means I would have to get up at 6:30 in the morning and drive him to the bus stop and then pick him up. So I was like, oh, okay. So we've been doing that, and, you know, it's been okay getting up early. Sometimes there's a little bit of traffic, but it's been eating up my gas tank, and God is good, but gas is high. And I was like, Lord, I don't like this. Like, I thought it was one thing. I was all hyped when I thought he was going to be going to the same bus stop because it didn't involve me. But now I'm the one having to do all this driving, early fight traffic, burning up gas. And so my son told me that one of the teachers said they only had to do so many days of summer school to make up the hours. Now, they didn't tell us parents this, so I've been putting it off to ask the school. So sure enough, today the Lord reminded, my son reminded me when I dropped him off, but the Lord reminded me too, like, hey, call up to the school about the hours. So I called to the school. They transferred me to a voicemail. I left a voicemail. Somebody immediately called me back and, in fact, confirmed, like, yes, what you heard is that, in fact, true, that he only has to do 30 hours, and since he's been going since the beginning, today he would have done 32 hours, so technically he doesn't have to come back. We encourage him to stay the whole summer school session, but it's not required, it's not necessary. He's basically met the requirements now. It's up to you. So I was like, thank you so much. Yeah, he won't be coming back because he did good in math during the school year. It's just a STAR test thing. I hung up that phone and I told Terrence, and I'm not kidding you, maybe he thought I was joking, I almost broke my back doing the Roger Rabbit because I was so excited. That was a blessing. That was a blessing I wasn't looking for. Like I said, we be, you know, wanting God to bless us in certain areas. A blessing is a blessing. I'm going to take it. But I sure took that. But that's probably why I'm tired now. I haven't danced that hard. And I don't know how long. If I had pants on, they would have failed just like David when he was dancing because I was so excited. That I don't have to get up early. I don't have to hear that alarm clock. I don't have to fight no traffic. None of it. It's over. And that's a blessing. And so we need to just be looking for the blessings every day, not always looking for the big one. You know, we're always looking for the windfall blessings, but look for the little blessings. It starts when you open your eyes. That's a blessing to wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing to, you know, to be in your right mind. Some people, you know, wake up crazy every day. They don't know who they are, what's going on. They think they are a bird. They don't know what's going on, you know. You know, that's a blessing. You know, it's the little things. The fact that even though I'm complaining about gas prices, I can put gas in my car. That's a blessing. I just don't like greed and unfairness, so that's just the way I'm built. But it's still a blessing that I'm able to put gas in my car. Some people cannot put gas in the car. Some people don't know what they're going to do, mm-hmm. you know, because of the increased cost. So the fact that you're able to take care of yourself, even if you're not taking care of yourself on the level that you're used to, maybe you are having to cut back on your name brands and your little, you know, everybody has little things that's considered like a little luxury to them. Maybe you're having to cut back on your little luxury things, mm-hmm. but you're still able to eat. Maybe, and you're still able to watch your favorite show. Maybe you had to cut back on cable, but you still got streaming. So you still can watch TV. Because every little thing is a blessing. So we have to be mindful and be grateful and praise God. Terrence and I had a situation earlier that, you know, initially could have made us very angry. And I felt anger coming on me. And I said, you know what? Nah, I ain't doing that. I'm going to praise God. Because, Lord, this is an opportunity for you to solve a problem for us. And you are the ultimate problem solver. You always come through. Never leave us hanging. So I'm just going to thank you for the breakthrough. I'm going to thank you for the blessing. I'm going to thank you for doing what you always do. Get mad for what? Like, that getting mad is like showing a lack of faith. I have faith in you that you're going to take care of the situation. You're going to take care of us. So I have to turn that around. And that's the type of life that we need to lead. We need to be leading a life of praise and being able to recognize the blessings.
Yeah, because, you know, God's blessing is his favor and protection
yes.
over us. And so, yeah, we do want to have human moments. We have to recognize when it's human and when it's the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as believers, you know, and especially as those that know, yeah, we still have human moments. But a lot of times we think that because we're favored, because we're protected, that situations won't rise up. You know, Job was still favored and protected.
mm-hmm.
Even when it seems as if everything was falling apart, he still had God's favor and he still had God's protection.
Yeah.
And we have to realize that. We have to constantly walk in it. Because if you're focusing on what's easy, right, what you deem easy, you know, easy to get mad, easy to get emotional, easy to lash out, easy to use your tongue to speak to a situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a manner that's contrary to what God is saying.
Yeah.
If you can find it easy as a believer, you can find it easy to praise him. You can find it easy to continue to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it easy to be quiet.
Come on.
You know,
that's what you need to do is be quiet.
Yeah, but these are things that we have to practice. And God truly, I believe this and I know it to be a fact, that God will allow things in your life to test your posture, to test how you will react. Are you an ungrateful child? The moment something don't go the way you want it, do you pout? You poke your lip out, you go kicking in the wind. You know,
punch in the air.
You know, how are you responding when things are not going the way you planned it to go?
Oh, that's a good one.
Or are you allowing God's plan to prevail over yours, even when it doesn't look like it's going in the direction that you believe it's going,
mm-hmm.
that you believe you want it to go into? Everything is not going to look the way you want it to look. If that be the case, you'll be God.
That's a good point.
If everything went the way we wanted it to go, we would be God. We would be all-knowing. But we have the Holy Spirit, which leads us. The Holy Spirit quickens us. It teaches us. Hey, hold up. Calm yourself. Be easy. Laugh. You can change your emotional thoughts with laughter.
It literally does. Even science backs that up, that laughter. It does the heart good. Like it changes the chemical levels in your brain when you laugh.
Yeah.
It changed the whole trajectory of your emotions when you laugh. That's why, like, my friends are having a rough time. You know, of course, after we pray and all that, I always tell them, watch a funny movie or a funny, mm-hmm. watch something funny.
Right.
Because it literally is biologically changing things in your brain.
Absolutely. You know, you think about you walking in laughter and really just, like, literally laughing at the attempts. Just imagine how funny it is, you know, especially us as kids, and you the bigger brother, the sibling or what have you, whether you had a younger cousin or whatever, but they were shorter than you. And you would hold some out of their reach, but yet they jumping for it. They used to just trip me out to see them just reaching, and every time they jump, I move it. You know what? That was funny to me. That would just really crack me up. But eventually, of course, I give it to them. But I did that for the laughs, and we'll laugh. They'll be mad at it in that moment, but after they'll be laughing too. Like, I wish you hadn't seen your little arm trying to reach up there and grab that, you know, or whatever is funny, mm-hmm. you know. To it's like that's how God uses us and wants us to be. When the enemy comes, we have to laugh at his attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't come with anything new. And then a lot of times, it ain't even him. Sometimes you're just going through things that God has ordered you to go through. Mm-hmm. Because we always want to find this comfortable place. The comfort is in my belief in him. Because sometimes you have to sit down in an uncomfortable situation. Just sit down in it.
That's true.
And focus. You know, God had us sharing last night about things that's going to take place and how these particular things need to be. Because the enemy, we really have to really focus on, I'm going to tell it. While I'm trying to teach right now and share, my wife is texting me, okay, because she's hungry, okay? See, this is stuff I'm talking about. I'm in a serious moment right now. And trying to get this word across these here airwaves. And she's sending me a text about some hunger. The distraction from hunger. You see what I'm saying? You see when you're hungry, the decisions you make? I'm going to get you something to eat right now. Okay? But I just wanted to share that with y'all family. Because I know y'all going to laugh about that. I'm going to go ahead on. I'll resume it later. Whenever, you know, but. I had, because I lost my whole train of thought when she sends me this photo of her talking about the face of hunger.
Because unbeknownst to y'all, I was supposed to do the show. Terrence was supposed to leave to go get us something that we ordered to eat. So I told him, I said, okay, I'll do the show. Because he's got to also put together, he's been doing some home projects, so he's got to put some stuff together. But he was like, I'll just help you open the show up, you know, just help out a bit. And I got a notification that our order had been picked up. And I'm like, wait a minute, you said you was gonna, you know, say a few brief words to open up. Now you're sitting there, food getting cold, I'm hungry. But yeah. I didn't know he was gonna call me out like that. But yeah,
that was funny.
See, and you needed that laugh. Just like we were just saying that laughter. This is Terrence and I all the time. We will roast each other. We have fun. We laugh. We're always laughing. Even when there's like a serious situation, you know, we can have 23 cents in our bank account and a bill coming up and we'll laugh about it. You know, it's not funny, but it do be funny. But God always comes through. You know, God comes for your words. He comes for your faith. That's what moves God. That's what pleases God.
It ain't never been a time.
Yeah, so having a tantrum, what Terrence is saying is so accurate. He just stepped out, so he'll be back. What he's saying is so accurate that a lot of the times we'll sit there and blame the enemy on what's going on, and really we could be going through a test, but how are you going to respond to the test? You know, just because it's not going the way you think it's supposed to go doesn't mean that it's not a God thing. Think about when Samuel went to the house of Jesse to anoint David as king, right? It really didn't look like it was going the way he thought it was going to go, because here son after son after son after son after son was being brought to him, and it wasn't none of the sons. And so it looked like, okay, like, do you have any more sons? Let's read it. Let's read it. Let's read what I'm talking about, so you guys could get an understanding, because sometimes people don't know about the stories. Let's see. I know it's in, hold on, find it. So let's go First Samuel 16. Here we go, 1 Samuel 16. Okay, so let's start 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve for Saul when I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have chosen a king for myself amongst his sons. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears about it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer from the herd with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do after that, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, do you come in peace? And he said, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it happened when they had come, he looked at Eliab, the oldest son, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his height or his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass before Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Next, Jesse has Shammah pass by, and Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen him either. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? Jesse replied, there is still one left, the youngest. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send word and bring him, because we will not sit down to eat the sacrificial meal until he comes here. And then the next one is when David comes. But it could have looked like Samuel was told by God, go to the house of Jesse because I've chosen one of his sons. It was not going the way Samuel thought it was going to go. He bringing son after son after son after son after son. Now, imagine God telling you to go somewhere. Come on now, I'm preaching now. Maybe God told you to go to a job, right? And you know it, like, this is the job for me. And it doesn't appear like it's going the way you want it to go or what you thought. Because I'm pretty sure when Samuel, in his mind, we don't know what he's thinking. But because we're all humans and we share human experiences, I'm sure he was thinking like, okay, I'm going to go and bam, I'm going to anoint him. But I'm pretty sure he wasn't thinking he was going to have seven times where he's thinking, okay, this is him. Okay, nope. And then the son wasn't even going to be there to where he has to tell Jesse, do you have more sons? Well, send them work. Nobody's eating until this son comes here. Maybe you're at a job and it seems like you're getting passed from promotion, and it's not looking like what God told you. But do not give up, because what if Samuel, once we got to the fifth son, was like, you know what, maybe I heard wrong, because this is the sixth son. Like, okay, at what point did he feel like this is not, something ain't right, this is not going the way I thought it was going to go? But he kept on to the point where he finally, are there more? Because he knew that's where he was supposed to be. So we can't get ourselves in a stink when things are not going the way that we think it should go, especially when we know where we're supposed to be. Just because it's not going the way you thought it was going to go doesn't mean that God is now a liar. God was not, he's not like man that he should lie. He told Samuel that the next king was in the house of Samuel, in the house of Jesse, and guess what? It was. He wasn't at the house at the time, but it still came from his house. It still was one of his sons. And even though it looked like, that could have looked like failure, right? Because we assign what looks like failure. Sometimes we call things failures that are not failures. We don't know why it took all that for David to come about to where he even had to make a threat, a soft threat. Nobody's eating until we get David. He could have just simply said, you know, go get him, go fetch him. But he put a soft threat on there. Nobody's going to eat until he comes here. And as you guys know, don't play with people's food. When people are hungry, they're hungry. Well, it was a sacrificial thing, but still. He could have just said, bring them to me. Bring them upon me. He could have been all spiritual. Bring them upon me. The Lord said to fetch him. You know, he could have, no, but he said, no, get them, and nobody's going to eat until he comes. And so sometimes when you're in a situation that doesn't look like it's supposed to look, sometimes you got to start making it produce itself. Because who knows if Jesse would have said, well, I have another son. You would think after bringing son after son after son after son, you would think after the seventh one, he would have said, well, I have another one, but he didn't. Samuel had to ask him, do you have? Let's read again what he said. He said, are all your sons here? And Jesse replied, there is still one left, the youngest, he is tending the sheep. He didn't volunteer that information. Samuel had to say, are all your sons here? Because he did not know. And so sometimes you got to ask some questions to get to what God has told you is going to come about. Instead of sitting there poking your lip out, stomping your feet, and kicking a can. Sometimes you got to just ask questions to produce it. Sometimes it's not looking or going the way you want, but that doesn't mean that you just say, oh, well, don't make assumptions. Never do that. Never say, oh, because a lot of times people start questioning themselves. Oh, well, maybe I heard that wrong. Maybe that's not where, no. I know what I heard. I know where I'm supposed to be. Are all your sons here? And Jesse replied, there is still one left, the youngest. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send word and bring him, because we will not sit down to eat the sacrificial meal until he comes here. And let's finish reading now. Let's go to verse 12. So Jesse sent word and brought him in. Now he had a ruddy complexion with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. The Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Because listen to what he used. It said he anointed him, right, with the horn of oil. But we see in the beginning, First Samuel, let's read again, 1 Samuel verse 16, starting with verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve for Saul when I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have chosen a king for myself amongst his sons. So he told him what to bring. Fill your horn with oil and go. And then after it looked like it wasn't going the way it's supposed to go, son after son's being brought, rejection after rejection, and then Jesse not volunteering, no information, but having to be asked, are all your sons here? Are they all here? Yeah, this David, the Yanyas, but he's tending the sheep. Okay, well, you need to get them and bring them, and we're not eating until you do. And then what did he do? He used the horn of oil that God told him to fill up. So sometimes you, God will tell you to bring your wisdom, bring your knowledge, bring whatever to a place, and it's not looking like. He could have dumped that horn of oil out and said, you know what, I'm sorry, I got the wrong house. Let me just go back to where I came from and mind my business. No. God told him, fill that horn of oil up and go to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, because I've chosen one of his sons to anoint as the next king. And it did not look like it was going right to where Samuel could have just said, you know what, sorry to bother you. I'm going to take my little horn of oil and I'm going to carry on. But no, he pressed because he knew what God told him to do. He even had the horn of oil with him. And sometimes we're in those situations where God has equipped us with something and told us to go somewhere and it's not looking the way we think it's supposed to look. And then we just give up. We don't start digging in. That's what Samuel did. He dug in. Are all of your sons here? That's not a question. Because he had doubt, it's because he had faith. Because I know that what God told me, God said that I'm anointing one of your sons, and it ain't none of them. Are all of your sons here? That was a faith-filled question. And guess what? They all weren't. So don't poke your lip out because it's not going the way you thought it was going to go. When you are where you need to be, sometimes you got to just start asking the right questions. Ask God for wisdom and understanding. Ask God to tell you what your next step is. But don't give up in the middle, because he really could have gave up and said, you know what, I think I heard wrong. Because sometimes we do that. I've done that. Where I'm like, I must have misheard. Maybe I was hungry. Maybe I was sleepy. Maybe I'm trying to be hyper-spiritual. Like, I've done that and was wrong, of course. So always be checking yourself when you're in a situation, checking your response. Samuel could have had an attitude. He could have been all funky because, you know, here he is all hyped that he's about to anoint the next king. And it, you know, your hype starts to wear off when you're like, okay, not him. Okay, surely 7 is the number of completion. So it's going to be, no. Still wasn't. So he had to put in a little extra work. Just because you're where God sent you don't mean you got to put in the extra work. A lot of the times we think because God sent us that it's going to just come easy. Like the red carpet is going to be rolled out. The trumpets are going to be sound. And they're going to come with you know, feeding us grapes. And sometimes it just does not work like that. Sometimes you do got to put in a little extra to pull things out, information out of people to get what you're supposed to get and to get what you came for. He came with a purpose to anoint the next king. And he wasn't leaving until he was going to do it. Sometimes that's got to be your attitude. I'm not leaving until I get what I came for, what God sent me to do. I don't care how many terrible coworkers I got, how many bad attitudes, how many promotions I get passed. I'm not leaving until I fulfill my assignment, period. That's got to be your attitude. Don't be having no attitude, no stinky attitude. Have a faith-filled attitude. I'm not going nowhere until whatever God sent me here to do gets done by my hand. Because when, after Samuel anointed David, it says that Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Ramah is not Bethlehem. He did what he needed to do and then he left. So sometimes that's what we need to do. Sometimes we're in a certain position because we haven't done what we needed to do because we just gave up in the middle of it, and we just need to ask a question. Do you have more sons? Are all of them here? We gotta get it done. Figure out his wisdom of how am I going to get this accomplished. Maybe you got to ask your coworker, are you okay? Sometimes when you have a really nasty coworker you're dealing with, sometimes that's a really, you know, a good question to ask. Are you okay? You know, but you ask me that for, because you don't seem like you're okay. Maybe you should ask somebody, can I pray for you? Maybe you should ask somebody, do you know the Lord? I don't know what the question is, but sometimes it's just a matter of you asking a question to get the information needed so that you could take your next steps, so that you could fulfill the task that you're assigned to. I'm ministering to somebody, because I was going to go a whole different direction tonight, and this is what's coming out of me. So do not quit in the middle. If God sent you somewhere, it's going to manifest. But sometimes you gotta do something too, because the Lord could have told Jesse, you know, supernaturally send for, bring forth your son David. No, Samuel took care of that. He handled it. Are all your sons here? That's what made the difference between rejection and wasting time and getting the task completed, with him just asking a question. Are all your sons here? Sometimes that's all that's required of you. That's all that's necessary to get the ball rolling still, is asking a question with wisdom. Because he could have assumed. That's not wise to assume. Well, that's all the sons. Let me go. No. Are all your sons here? Because he obviously didn't know how many sons he even had. He might have thought that first one was his only one. We don't know. Because surely this is him. Lord, like, nah, I don't judge people like you judge people. I don't look at the outward appearance. Because that's what Samuel's looking at, like, oh, look at him. He looks like a king. And he's like, no. And we always have to, when we're assigned, we always have to make sure that we are doing what we're assigned to do and not going by appearance. Because that's what sometimes we get caught up and we're still in our assigned place, because we trying to put the assignment, what we're supposed to do, on something because it looks good. David was tending the sheep and he was the youngest. Sheep, people who tend the sheep back then, that wasn't exactly a CEO type of position. So tonight, if you're in a position, you're in a place, and you don't understand why you're there, you are discouraged because it's not looking the way you thought it was going to look, or it doesn't seem to be panning out, ask God, what questions should I be asking? Especially workplaces. A lot of people are in some bad workplaces, and they're like, man, uh-uh. Because I knew even myself, my former workplace, I knew it was a timing thing for me, that there were people I needed to talk to and connect with. It had nothing to do with the job per se. It was really about the people and the connections. And I really did not like it there. Even though I was excelling. I was excelling there. I was doing so great. On paper, I looked amazing and absolutely did not like it. But knew that I could not leave until there were people there that I had to connect with and make myself available to. And once all that stuff got established, abruptly God was like, quit. You could quit now. And I did. So let's have let's change our attitude. And when things aren't going the way we think they should be going, let's just see God. Let's not make assumptions. Let's just ask God, what's my next step? Are there questions I need to be asking? Who do I need to talk to? Because God answers prayer through people. God does his work through people. We are his hands on this earth. So a lot of the times we're waiting on God to supernaturally do something, but we have the power to do things. Like Samuel, he could have just went off and said, okay, Lord, what's going on here? But he had the power to ask, are all your sons here? Sometimes we waiting on God to make a move. He waiting on us to make a move. You have power and authority too. Now, you don't have power and authority like God, but you are a representative of him. So we sometimes we just have to reevaluate how we're looking at a situation. Because while that looked like it was, you know, a situation that wasn't going right, it really was. It was going right. So let's pray, and then I'm going to, there's several of you in the queue. I'm gonna unmute, get names, and pray like Randy does on Wednesdays, because I really want to get to everybody. I've missed praying for you guys because we haven't done the show, it seems like, in a minute, because last Wednesday was my birthday, so we took off. And then Sunday, we took off Sunday, and then I think the last couple Sundays, there's been other PGN family doing the show, so we haven't had an opportunity to really speak to you guys, it seems like, in a little bit. So I want to definitely pray over everybody. But let's do a collective prayer before I do that. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, thankful and grateful, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your direction and your guidance and your everlasting love, Lord. You're always teaching us and growing us and getting us to next levels because our steps are ordered by you. We thank you, Father God, that your plans have an expected end and that your plans for us are good. We thank you for being a good and gracious God, full of love, mercy, and grace. And help us, Father God, as your representatives, to not be so hard on ourselves and to not be so inclined to follow our emotions and to allow our emotions to control us. Let us, Father God, be able to overcome our emotions and to seek you above all things and to not let our emotions dictate our mood or our moves, but to let you dictate our move and our moods. Let us be able to tap into joy at all times, Lord, because joy is not based on what's external, but it's something internal. It's something internal that you provide to us. So help us, Lord, to tap into that joy at all times and to count it all joy. We thank you, Father God. We lift your name on high. We love and honor you. Lord, help me to decrease as you increase and give your people what they need tonight, Father God. Sense an urgent hunger with your people, Lord. Speak to them. Give them what they need, Lord. And we just thank you for it. Let it all be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Let me get my notepad out. Hopefully Tans will be back before the show ends, but I don't know because it's 7:50 now. And I think where he's going is about 20 minutes away, so that might be it for him tonight as far as his involvement on the show, but he's always praying for you all. We always both do. We always are praying for you guys. I want, if you guys have been tuning in to the shows recently, Randy was talking about some pretty cool things about like the systems and how God is going to give us as believers our own system, and that's something that God has share with me personally, even before I knew about PGN. So if you haven't been listening, I highly suggest you do. Shows have been great. And I know that there's shows that go on, gosh, what day is that? Is it Sundays that those show, the prophetic shows are on the Revelation revealed shows. I think it's on Sundays. I'm trying to find it on my phone. Let's see. Oh no, I think it's Tuesdays. Yeah, Tuesdays and Sundays. So be sure to tune into that because I know a lot of times people don't really have a good understanding about the Book of Revelation. And that's it's great to know about the Book of Revelation. So tune into those shows. And Randy sends out the group text. It's, let's see, I think it's 12 p.m. on Sundays. Yeah, and Tuesdays at 4. So be sure to tune into those shows as well. All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to unmute you, get your name, pray for you, and then go on to the next one, just like Randy does on Wednesday, so that I can get everybody. All right, first caller is 903-918. Who am I speaking to?
This is Michelle from Texas.
Hey, Michelle, how are you tonight?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing good. Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and mute you and pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Michelle, Lord. We thank you for the strength and the wisdom, Father God, that she will be known for both, for Holy Spirit strength and wisdom. And I thank you, Father God, that when people seek her, when people seek her for wisdom, that that she's going to give people godly wisdom. And when people seek her for strength, that she's going to give them the source of her strength. As Michelle, I see God really using you, because a lot of times women, a lot of women are taught to like to be strong, right? To be strong no matter what. And there's healthy strength, and then there's struggling strength, where like you're trying to hold up 75 pounds, but really your capacity is 50. So you're just, even though you're holding it up, you're cracking and damaging yourself under the pressure. And I see God really using you to really minister to women who are who have been erroneously taught to be strong no matter what, when really they need to be taught to do an exchange with the Lord, right? Because to give their heavy burden for his light yoke, that it's okay not to be strong in every area. It's okay to cry. It's okay to have emotional, you know, reaction. It's okay to not be okay at that moment. And I see God really using you to give wisdom, because a lot of women don't hear that. You know, like I remember one time a girlfriend of mine had a bad breakup with a guy, and she kept saying she was unbothered, right? That's trendy, to be unbothered and act like you have absolutely no emotions, like you're not a human. And I told her, I said, it's okay to be bothered. Like, you were with this person for X amount of time. You thought you were going to be spending your life with this person, or, you know, you had high hopes and then it didn't pan out. Natural response would be to be hurt and to pine for a little bit and to check on what he's doing and his new girlfriend and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's a normal reaction. I said, but what's not normal is pretending like you don't care when you do care, because when you lie about how you're feeling, you're never going to get to that place of healing. Now, bitterness, resentfulness, jealous, all this stuff's going to come creeping in because you're not being honest about the fact that you're bothered. Because if you can admit that you're bothered, now you can find freedom. It can make you free. You can deal with how you're feeling. And she said, nobody's ever told her anything like that before. I'm like, what are we not going to do is sit up here and lie? If you're bothered, you're just bothered. But let's admit that you're bothered, and then you can move forward, and you can go to God with your truth and say, hey, I really thought this person was the one for me, and it didn't work, and I've got a new girl, and that bothers me, and that makes me sick, and I'm, you know, checking his social medias and this, that, and the other, and I'm stalking her, and I don't want to be like that. And I'm starting to become bitter and wondering if there's something wrong with me. I'm like, you need to go to God with your truth. But sitting here talking about I'm so unbothered and not praying about it and all that, that's not helping you. And see, Michelle, God's going to use you to be open and honest like that with women and give them real wisdom. It's not wise to sit around and say, oh, I'm unbothered. It's not wise to say, I don't want new friends, when you really do want friends. So many women say, oh, no, I keep my circle small. I don't want any friends. But really, they're longing for friendships, but they just have had some bad experiences in the past. And God's going to use you to give people real strength and to, especially women, and to give them wisdom about strength. And it's okay to, you're not a superwoman. You don't have a cape on. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say that's too much. It's okay to not be able to do it all. It's okay to feel some sort of way. It's okay. And it's okay to go to God and say, you know, I'm cracking under the pressure. And I've got too much on my plate. My plate's cracking. It's okay to say that. And God's going to really use you to give women that wisdom, because that's going to cause them to be able to operate and walk in freedom. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a lot. All right, next caller here is 251-342. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Latrice.
Hey, Latrice, how are you tonight?
It is well. It is well.
Amen. I know that's right.
Yes, ma'am. In spite of, it is well.
Yes, it is always well. All right, Latrice, I'm going to go ahead and mute you and pray for you. Lord, we just thank you right now for Latrice We thank you, Father God, for, because even that word I was giving Latrice about like the workplace and being on a, basically being where you need to be on assignment. Not that you have a bad attitude about it, but it's like you God has you in a place where it might look like it's not going the way it's supposed to go, but it is. It just doesn't have the appearance like the way you think. You know what I'm saying? Because God will tell you, oh, go here, do this, and we will fill in the blank, right? When we don't see it, like somebody's not drawing it out, we will fill in the blank of what it's supposed to look like. And sometimes it doesn't look the way it's supposed to look. Just like, let's use Jesus for an example, right? When he came in the form of, God comes in the form of a man, who is Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And I love art. Right, when you see artist depiction of Jesus, he's just beautiful, right? But when you study scripture, the only scripture that talks about his appearance says that he wasn't attractive, that there was no beauty in him, nothing that would attract people to him. So these artists have filled in the blank of what they feel he looked like and made him all beautiful because he's beautiful. Our Lord, we serve a beautiful Lord. But when he came in the form of a man, his appearance was not beautiful. Like David, when we just read in 1 Samuel, it describes David as being attractive. David was an attractive man. But when you go into, I want to say it's in the book of, is it in Isaiah? When it talks about the appearance of Jesus, it says he wasn't attractive. People fill in the blank. So imagine if somebody said, okay, the Lord is going to be on the corner of 5th and Elm, next Tuesday, and you go, and in your mind, you're like, okay, I already know he's going to be the most beautiful man I've ever seen because he's our Lord and Savior, and then you see this very unattractive person in the corner, you're like, he said he was going to be here, but I don't see him, because in our mind, we've already drawn a conclusion of what it's supposed to look like, but yet he's still there. And so where God is you right now, it's not looking the way you thought it would look, but it's still there. And you are assigned there because there's change that's going to come about because of your presence. There's change that's going to come about because of your prayers. There's change that's going to come about because of your influence of people. Because you influence people that don't even like you. They don't even like you, which is cool. They don't have to like you. But you still influence people. And sometimes we're like, God's like, go here and influence these people, and people treat me bad. They don't like you. And so it feels like you're not doing your job, but people will admire you from a distance. Because sometimes people can say, I don't like her, but dang, she really needs to stick it to her guns. And they will admire that. And so, excuse me, I've been having cough fits because our weather's been dry, my allergies been flared up, but stick to where you are because you're where you need to be. Even if it doesn't look like it, that's where you are assigned, and things are changing because of your obedience and because you're there. So Lord, we just thank you for the treats. We thank you, Father God, for her influence of people. We thank you for her prayers. We thank you for her wise words, that she understands words change things. Words change environments. Even when we don't see it right away, it's still changing things for the better. So just continue to protect her and let those around her see the protection of you and say, surely we know that she is protected by God, to draw them to you, to where even they'll say, man, you just be escaping things unscathed. What's going on, to where she has a platform to minister about your love and minister about your protection and minister that when God assigns you, nobody can take your spot. Nobody could knock you off your spot when this is where God assigns you. So we thank you for using her, Father God. Bless her in every area of her life, Father God, and help her to walk in divine health. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 919-292. Who am I speaking to?
This is Shaquella. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Shaquella?
I'm doing good. I can't complain.
Amen. Let's pray for you. Let me go ahead and mute you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Shaquella. We thank you, Lord, for the that you're bringing the circle of strong people around her, the mighty people. Like David had mighty men, right? Mighty is a very strong word. Mighty men that would protect him and that sort of thing. And I see God bringing you a circle of mighty people, mighty men and women that will provide you with friendship, companionship, that will protect you, that will cultivate the call that God has on your life. Because when people, some people's assignment is just really to protect other people and to help other people to stay encouraged to do the work that God has assigned to them. No great person does it alone, right? Because even if you look at like celebrities and stuff, and they can just be performers and that kind of thing, but if you look at their entourage, their crew, or the people in their lives, it takes a lot of people, even though they're the ones that have the talent, right, or the looks, or the whatever is causing them to be famous. Behind them are still several people that help them. You know, if it's a singer, they have voice coaches that help them train their voice so that they're not overusing it. They have makeup artists to bring out their beauty, or hairstylists, or people that keep them encouraged, people who help them stay on schedule and that kind of thing. It takes a lot of people for great people. So that's even in the world, but even with God, God's people, it takes a lot of people. It takes other people. It's not just you can be great on your own. You can have a great calling. You can have a great anointing. You can flow heavy in your gifts, but you still need other people that will keep you, you know, where you need to be, that will keep you encouraged, that will love on you, that will pray for you. It requires other people. We need each other. And I see God bringing people like that to you in the form of friends and people who will help bring out the best of you, people who will help sharpen you. Because sometimes we're in positions in life, and I know I've been in seasons of my life where I did not have that. And I was feeling like constantly pulled and tired and starting to feel dull because it was like people were taking, but nobody was pouring into me. It was always wanting something from me. And even when you have a gift that's from God and you're using it as a sign, it can be draining. Like even after we do these shows, praying for people and letting God use us and pull us, it's tiresome. It drains. And so you have to always be praying for like people who God is using. Like pray for Randy. He does this 4 days a week. Ministers and prays for people. That takes energy. And sometimes people don't think about praying for him. They want to be prayed for. And so even with us as individuals and our assignments, sometimes, you know, people don't think about the fact that we need to be refilled or that we need people that we can, you know, express ourselves to or tell about our fears or our hopes or whatever the case may be, because people are always pulling from you, but they don't realize that you're human too. You need the same thing. But I really see God sending people to you that are going to serve that purpose, you know, to keep you uplifted. And like I said, sending you godly friends, which are so important, and people that will sharpen you, and that you will in turn sharpen, because iron sharpens iron. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, next person is 225-270. Who am I speaking to?
Jacqueline.
Hello, hi. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Jacqueline.
Jacqueline?
Yes.
Hey, Jacqueline, how are you tonight?
All right.
Amen. I'm going to pray for you. I've always liked that name too, Jacqueline. It just sounds like such a regal name, distinguished. And that's what I'm seeing. It's, you know, God will always use wordplay. Well, Terrence is back too. But that's what I see, Jacqueline, that God really elevating you, right? Because promotion comes from God. A lot of the times we're seeking promotion from people. And that's why people do certain things. They will wear certain clothing. They'll drive certain cars. They'll go for certain jobs because they want to be seen as, you know, esteemed or regal or distinguished amongst other people. But real true promotion comes from God. And that's what I see with you. I see God promoting you to a level to where you won't even care what people think about you. Like, man, I don't care what your opinion is. This is where God has me. He's elevating you. And when God promotes, because a lot of times people want promotions, even in the natural, like at jobs, they don't want it for the right reasons. You know, sometimes they want it because they want to take care of their family and they know that certain promotions comes with certain financial, more financial perks or benefits and that kind of thing that for their the betterment of their family. But some people want to be promoted because they want that title, because they want people to look at them a certain way, you know, because they thrive on the way people look at them. Oh, that they're a VP or they're this, that, and the other, you know, because that does get you, it gives you more power, it gives you more influence. So elevation definitely does that even in the natural. And so I see God elevating you. And again, you're not really caring what people think about your elevation, but he's doing it for the purpose of, because it does give you more power and influence. And so when you are sold out to Christ and you have power and influence, you're going to use your power and your influence for the kingdom. So that's why he's doing it. God is always doing things for the kingdom, for the expansion of the kingdom, for the betterment of people, right? Because we're here for people. That's what we're here in the earth for. We're not here in the earth just for ourselves. We're here in the earth for people. We're all assigned to people. There's people that's part of our purpose. And so you're going to be elevated. You're going to be elevated and seen as like regal, distinguished. So we thank you for that, for Jacqueline, in Jesus' name. Amen. And welcome back, Terrence. Hello there. We're going to, I'm going to have you pray for the next caller. I've just been unmuting and praying over everybody because you see there's a lot of people with their hands up. So next caller here is 334-590.
Hey, it's Jayla.
Hey, Jayla, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are y'all doing?
Pretty good. Look, got you right when parents came back.
Who's this folks, man?
Yes, we love you too.
Unless she's trying to throw you off on me, J-Lo.
I'm not.
That's what it is, J-Lo. She always be trying to think I'll be roasting people. That's all.
He did. Did you hear earlier when he roasted me about texting him to go get that food? I mean, right on the air, I had texted him because he was supposed to get some food for us right before the show. And he was like, I'm just going to help you start off. I'm just going to talk a little bit. And he started, you know, Terrence, he gets started. He gets started.
Whoa.
And I was hungry. So I texted him. And he put me out there and told everybody on the show. he lost his train of thought. He was like, my wife is texting me about food and sending me pictures. I'm like, wait a minute. Put me all on blast. It was true, though, so I couldn't say nothing because it was true. But it was funny. But, yeah, he just put me on blast right here on PGN. You all heard it live.
You didn't allow the Lord to prompt me. You intervened.
Oh, I didn't think you was going to read it right away. I really did. I thought you were going to...
He jumps up on the phone.
I know, but I thought you were going to, after you were done, was going to read it and get a good chuckle out of it. I didn't know you was going to. It was going to distract you. Then you still got a good chuckle, but I didn't know you was going to put me on blast. Like, here, my wife is texting me in the middle of the show and sending photos and stuff about how hungry she is. I didn't know you was going to do that.
I sure won't. Jayla, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for Jayla tonight, Father God. We thank you for recognizing like the power. You know, the Bible talks about in scripture where it says that all things work together for the good of them that are called according to his purpose. And he says that He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. And so the power is significant and identifiable to the Holy Spirit, you know, God's Spirit being present in you. And when God's Spirit is alive and working in you, and God's Spirit is alive, period. But when you give the Spirit permission to operate, when you give the Spirit it the place that it needs to be in your life, then you will allow the power to work. See, God will exceed your expectations. Anything that you ask for, He will exceed it. Whenever we yield to the power. Whenever we yield to the power and allow the power to guide our steps. Whenever we yield to the power of the Holy Spirit to shape our minds, our mentalities. To basically be in the forefront of our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to take us to that place that God wants us to be. And that place that God wants us to be is always greater than the place that we think we want to be. And so when God gives you those desires of your heart, know that you're going to get it to that place, but it's still going to exceed what you even expected. Because God gives us glimpses. God gives us a little bit of the show. You know, but He always will exceed the expectation when we allow the power. When we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work and flow freely in our lives. And that's just about putting God first, period. And putting Him first, it's a practice. You know, we just don't, I don't know many people is just say, oh, I know Jesus. He's first every day right now. You know, maybe there are people like that, but that wasn't my experience. I was drawn to Christ, you know, at a very young age, but I grew and developed in understanding how and what it meant for Him to be first in my life, for Him to be first, you know, before I call anybody to ask their advice about anything, you know, I'm a talk to the Lord, and I'm training my children to, like, before you ask me anything, you know, you need to run it through the Lord first. So it will behoove you to have a relationship with Him, because if you come to me first, the first thing I'm gonna ask is, have you prayed? Did you ask God first? You know, so until you do that, bye. Because He may not have you call Him. You know? He might have you go get some ice cream. And while you're waiting in line, you might read something. On your way to the ice cream parlor, you might see somebody in traffic, in passing, that can say a one word that will be your answer. That would be the key to unlock something in you. We want to know what God is going to do. We want to know how it's going to be done. But the only thing we really should focus on is that what He says will be. I know God, I can't lie. Why? Because He told me that. I believe it. Mm-hmm. He's all-knowing. Why? He says it. Where did I get that from? Through my meditation, through my reading, through my studies, through revelation, through preachers, through teachers. You know, me inclining my ear to Him. Then it enables me to be in the right place to flow properly. It's like a hose. You ever been using the water hose and the water is on, but you got a kink in it and the water ain't coming out right. And so you got to walk that hose and find where that kink is. You got to get that kink out so the water can flow. And the kink is symbolic of doubt. The kink is symbolic of ignorance. The kink is symbolic of disobedience.
Wow.
The kink is symbolic of arrogance. Pride, you know. Insecurities.
Wow.
Wanting to please people over man. Because, I mean, we're all and people that we care about, we really do care about a lot of times what they think. You know, mm-hmm. we don't want people to really see us in a vulnerable state. We don't want people to see us, you know, at a place where we are weak or, you know, or just have issues with. But it ain't their issue. So when we take the mindset that, like, in all honesty and actuality, there is nothing you can do for me because all my help comes from the Lord. So if God uses you, you know, to guide or to assist, I still know that my help truly comes from the Lord.
Wow.
And so sometimes when you're being pruned, you're being cut. When you prune trees, you're cutting those limbs, those dead limbs, and you're shaping that tree and giving it the freedom it needs to grow and be full.
Mm-hmm.
But they're cutting. But that's part of our journey. Because as believers, you know, we will suffer. We will go through tough times. But the key to it is you're not in it alone. Because David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I fear no evil. Said the rod and staff comfort me. So I'm equipped. I have what God has for me with me to help me through it all. And all this stuff is, your emotions and stuff is just a shadow.
Wow.
We just have to put it in its place and call it what it is. You know, but we just thank God for the growth. We thank God for the development. We thank God for the desires of the heart being met. And we thank God for these things being seen. We thank you for your faith being increased, your knowledge being increased, and you being stretched. Because, you know, when you get ready to press a pair of pants, you know, you stretch them out. You know, you get some wrinkles out before that heat comes. The worst thing to do is iron a pair of pants on that wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you done made it worse. It's to get the wrinkles out, not to press them in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a process to it. So we have to stretch it out in order to get it ready for the heat. And so to be pressed and to be pressed in the form to where it's then presentable and it looks good. And that's all God is doing with you. He's making you presentable. Presentable. Yeah, making you presentable to get out here in this world to dominate, because that's what he's called us to do, dominate.
Mm-hmm.
So go subdue this world. Go subdue the earth. Go dominate this thing. No need to be scared of them bugs. I gave you dominion over them bugs. I gave you dominion over everything in this earth. No need to walk these grounds afraid of what I've given you dominion.
Wow.
Over it all. But all I need you to do is to give me access to it. I gave it to you. I need you to open up to me so I can pour into you so you can release it into this world. Because I want it to be done on earth as it is in heaven, but the only way heaven can be done on earth is if I got some heaven-minded folks, if I got some people connected to heaven that will open up and allow me to pour it into them so that they can pour it in the earth. Because the day is coming, you know, where every knee gonna bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, and God is gonna use you in that arena. And we just thank him for that being done in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I got. Amen. I don't know how Tanisha was doing the show, but that's rich. That is rich right there. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Wow. Yeah, that's rich right there. Yeah. We just thank God for you, Jayla. We love you.
I love you both. That was so on time. Like, I don't even have much to say because it's like, wow.
Right.
I'm going through a lot right now, and that was very much needed today out of all days, too. So thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, keep it going. You have the next, right? Come on. People know you, Evie. Come on. Which one were you on? I don't know. Were you going down or up?
I was going down.
All right. God bless you, Jayla.
God bless you, Jayla. Oh, what'd you do?
Man, I don't know. What it
is it all tab? It'll take you back to it. There you go. Oh, no.
No, watch out. I got it.
Okay.
Thank you. You. I just go back to the studio right here. Yeah. All right. Man, it's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all would even get a name. Six. And then Frank, I know we have to get off soon, so I just wanted to try to get everybody.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
You don't even have to unmute. You could just pray over area codes and prefixes. That'll probably be.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you. I want to unmute and get the names because I want to hear the names. 682-738, LaShun, gotta be.
Blessing, how you doing?
Good.
This is LaShun from Texas. This is LaShun from Texas.
Absolutely, gotcha. Let me pray for you, sister. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for LaShun tonight, Father God. We thank you for the rising up. You know, like when the sun, like the sun sets and rises, right? That's the thought pattern. But it's the sun is just like rotating around the earth, and the earth is moving. But the sun ain't never really sitting down nowhere. But that's what it seems like it's doing. Because it's showing itself in one part of the earth during a particular time. And then as the rotation goes, you're moving. And the sun is shining on a different part of the world. Wow. That's sweet. And so I see like with you, I see like how it's not, you know what they say, but you really know what it is. So what's being said makes sense. But in all actuality, you know what it really is. And so when you know what it really is, you allow people to think what they want to think and to see it the way that they want to see it. But you still move the way that that you know to move. And you still do things the way that you know to do it, because you really don't have to explain everything, because God will reveal to those that need to know what they need to know. You look at it, Miss Nisha's talking, you know, one of the number one things that people buy is information. We pay a lot for information, to be informed all the time. Pay big money for things to be informed about things. People pay big money to be informed. But a lot of times you're paying the money, but are you really being informed properly? You're just getting some information that seems to make sense to you. And it seems to have been working that way, or it seems to appear to be what it is, until you get more revelation of things. Then when things are revealed to you, that's when you have those aha moments. And I see you having the aha moment in your life, to where you realize, okay, I don't need to do it like that no more. I don't need to say it like that no more. I don't need to be like that no more. Because really, that's taking energy from me. That's really not benefiting me at all. And so, Lord, we just thank you for releasing those shackles of really trying to get people to see it. Allowing their development, just allowing them to be developed and to God, and for God to reveal it to them in their time when they're ready, if that's for them to know, because everybody don't need to know everything. Because some people will really try to curse you. They seem like they on your team, but they really dare to curse you and rain on your parade, so to speak. But we just thank God for the revelation and the right mindset and mentality to have as you move forward. We're really letting things kind of like go, you know, letting it go, just putting it down. And you're lightening your load, and you'll be able to move faster, and you'll have more energy, a lot more energy, even in the natural. I see that happening. In Jesus' name. All right. It's 8:31. So 202-722, we thank you for 202-722, Father God. We thank you for the peace, your peace, Father God, remaining, your peace remaining. Having constant peace in your life, even when things are chaotic, you remain peaceful. You're always looking and seeking to find peace. In any and every situation, because peace is available for us. Regardless if we can see it or not, we have to know that peace is available. We know it's available. So I just see you tapping into that, tapping into like walking and abiding in peace, period, in Jesus' name. 615-948. Lord, we thank you for 615-948. Lord, we thank you for mountains being moved, and just being destroyed, to where you just stepping on them. You know, things that seem so important in your life, and people that hold high positions, you know, in your life that you kind of look up to, but they're really not benefiting you in the way that you should really be benefited.
You know, it's like they are kind of like blockers, because it's one thing to get good knowledge and information, but it's another thing to have the anointing and to really have the Spirit of God flowing. And when you allow the Spirit of God to flow, and you're trusting in what the Lord says over that mountain, the mountains can be moved. When God is greater than the mountain, when God is greater than your greatest influencer out here, that can be removed. Jesus' name. 832-312. Lord, we thank you for benevolent. Hold on. I want to make sure. No, that's not it. All right. Okay. This is like where you're learning to give and not really focusing on the profit behind it. Like God is positioning you to really have that desire to just give, because the world teaches, you know, and the Bible says give and you shall receive, right? But to know that you are a giver, you're not focused just on profiting. You're not just giving things just so you can get something in return. That's part of it, but having the heart to just give is one thing. It should be disappointing to you to not be able to give and really wanting to give. You know, I like it when people give me things, but I would rather give. And it took me a while to get to that point to where I would really take things from people. Because that's God's way of that. I don't want to block their blessings. I don't want to stop their flow and them being obedient to what God is telling them to do, you know, and I don't want to stop mine either. And so I really had to pray about being a receiver as well. But because I have a heart to give, I want to give, It hurts when I can't give. I mean, I'm pretty much a sad puppy when I can't give. But I see God dealing with you in that area and giving you that desire of the giver's heart, really giving the giver's heart and being like being benevolent in it. Being well-meaning in your giving. Your giving has meaning. 847-239. Lord, we thank you for 847-239. We thank you for it's like God ain't nasty, but like you can get nasty in situations when it comes down to standing your ground and in that you believe with the enemy. You know, like, I'm not saying being evil or nothing, but having like a nasty boldness, like you really gotta get like have like a attitude type of mentality, like to where it's like, man, I don't care what the devil talking about. I don't really care about what life throws at me. You know, I'm walking with the Lord, period. You know, I'm going to do what it is that I'm supposed to do regardless, because I trust. And it's not about like you trying to be perfect or trying to box yourself into a particular way, but just allow yourself to be open to what God wants to do in your life. You know, because that's your relationship with him. I can't tell you what you and the Lord's relationship is like. That's y'all business. You won't know what my relationship is like with him unless I tell you. But building that relationship and just getting down and dirty in the trenches of your faith, being nasty in your faith, like, man, I got faith in the Lord. I ain't worried about that. So what? Who cares? If God be for me, who could be against me? So what them folk can hire me? They missed out. They missed out. And so when you're walking in that assurance, you truly unveil the power of God and allow the Spirit of God to just move and do what it needs to do in your life. And it ain't easy. It ain't always gonna be easy. But it's really gonna be very, very beneficial. And it's needed. It's needed. It's definitely needed. Each victory. So that's it, Lord. We thank you for everybody that called in tonight. We thank you for the show. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to clear it off for Randy. Y'all call back in. God bless y'all. Good night.